Our second scripture reading comes this morning from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's page 1130. So Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But this is a very interesting passage. As we start getting into the beginning of it, Paul uses a very interesting term that might pique your attention and cause you to question. He says, we are held in custody under the law. So the law was our guardian. Now, as I've said before, when we are reading Scripture, what is the most important thing that we need to remember? Context. Second to that, actually, I'm going to rephrase. I'm going to back up a little bit. The first thing is pray. Pray before you get into the word. But when you're in it, the proper way of doing hermeneutics, as they call it in seminary, is to understand the context of the passage. And so where Paul is speaking here, when he says, we were held, he was speaking to the Jewish people that entered into that covenantal relationship with God the Father at Mount Sinai when they received the law of Moses. So he's speaking in a couple different areas here. We have a micro view, and then we have a macro view within the scripture, and we need to understand each level where Paul is coming from and each level he's speaking to. And then, of course, from that, we can then bring the biblical principle to our time and understand our lives from that biblical principle. So we're going to try to unpack some of this here and understand where Paul is coming from and try to understand those levels, both micro and macro, and what he's trying to get at. So he's talking about the law of Moses, the law that guided and directed the Jewish nation, and there are still those who keep to that Mosaic law today. And so he calls the law a guardian. It's an odd word, right? It's a guardian. Now, is it guarding them from outside influences? In part. Think of the law back in pre-Jesus times as like guardrails. Okay, Jewish people, here is your word from the Lord. If you were asleep, you're not anymore. So think of the law as guardrails, and the Jewish nation, here is your highway. Here are your guardrails, and we are going to a specific place that God has foreordained. And that's the macro level we have to understand in talking about all of this. God has an overarching plan, salvation history that he has written and is working out still to this day, continuing forward until new heavens, new earth. So as they're going along, we have the guardian of the law keeping Israel within the bounds of what God told them, this is how you live. But there's also the concept, and I was reading one of the commentaries this week that talked about the law as a guardsman or a warden of a prison. Now, that's an interesting thought. The law of Moses, God's law that he gave to Moses, being the warden of a prison. Why is that? Well, before Christ, we are slaves to sin. We're bound in sin. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, a little bit further, more harsher language, that we are dead in our transgressions. And sin causes us to act on our own accord. What do I want? What's going to give me pleasure? What's going to give me X, Y, Z for whatever reason? Everyone has their vices and ways they're tempted. So sin causes us to act on our own accord, which would take us outside of that highway that God says, this is the way you live. And so you have the guardrails that's led Israel, that taught Israel, and that ultimately showed us how much our sin has affected us and how much we are in need of a Savior, how much we are in need of God's divine intervention, how much we are in need for our very souls, because our souls before Christ are dead in transgressions. So on one hand, the law being a guardian to keep them on path, but also keep Israel, the nation of Israel, because through Israel comes the Messiah. So God's working out this micro level of people's life as they move along and how they're supposed to relate to God, but on the macro level is keeping Israel, and keeping, if you think of like the exiles when there was basically no Israel, but they kept a remnant and they came back. God was still working because the law as a guardian was keeping the promises. Because when God makes a promise, he doesn't break it. And he promised to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be vast. And then he promised to David that he would always have a descendant on the throne of Jerusalem. So when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And so the law was the guardian of all of that. Kind of boggling to think about the complexity that God was working on and still works on today. So the law kept them safe. The law kept God's plan moving until Christ. And here, where Christ comes, no longer bound by the law, no longer bound by sin, because then we are justified by faith when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, calling him Lord and Savior, saying he is the risen Messiah, the risen Christ. Then we are justified by faith and no longer bound by a law. And he says, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. By grace, through faith, where Paul will say in Romans chapter 3. He goes on in verse 27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Now that imagery can sometimes be confusing. How can I clothe myself with Christ? That doesn't make sense. Again, thinking of macro level, go back to Passover, the original Passover, when they were in Egypt. When God told them to put the blood of the lamb over the door, and when the Spirit of God came through to kill the firstborn, it would pass over, saving all those in that household because of the blood of the lamb. And so, fast forward, Christ dies, Christ rises again, and we are baptized into Christ. We ourselves do not have any righteousness. We are fallen, we are broken. We need to be reconciled to God the Father. And here's a fancy word that you can impress your friends with. Imputed righteousness. Jesus has all the righteousness, all the glory, and then he gives us the righteousness. He clothes us in his righteousness so that when we stand before God, our sins are washed away. God the Father does not see the sins because we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. It is imputed from Jesus to us when we profess faith in Jesus Christ. And how is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit has come into our souls, regenerated our souls, taking us from death to life, and then we are covered by the blood of Jesus. So that's down at that micro level again. That's our personal souls being regenerated and clothed for a purpose. Back out to the macro level. Yeah, it can get confusing, but we need to keep in mind that God is working not just in our lives, but working in humanity's history altogether for a purpose, that he's bringing about a new world. And he's building a church. He's bringing all these people to be his children, to be his church, for the purpose of bringing about new heavens, new earth, spreading his gospel. So that all of us have a mission, all of us have a purpose, all of us have the spiritual gifts because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. That's why he goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, nor is there male or female. You are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, why does he make all those distinctions? Why does he have to go Jew or Gentile, slave, free, male or female? We'll go back to the law. There were many different laws for different occasions, many different commandments. I think there were like 613 different commandments that the Jewish people had to obey. And some of them were, oh, this is how you deal with Gentiles. This is how you deal with other Jews. This is how you deal with your slaves. This is how you deal with your spouses. This is how you deal with your neighbors. But then when we all become one in Christ, all those distinctions wash away because we are now one in the body of Christ and free from the bonds of sin. Freedom in Christ. That's amazing. Now God takes us from wherever we are, whatever walks of life, and brings us together to be one body, to be united in Christ, to be united in the body of Christ that works out the plan that God has put before us. Doesn't matter where you come from, Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, whatever walk of life, you come to Jesus Christ and you are one in the body. Now, but Paul would point out in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ, and we've looked at that before, how there are many different members, many different parts, but we come together to form one body. So we still have our distinct personalities, our distinct skills and gifts that he gives us, but we unite as one church, as one body in Christ. And we all come together as that body, and we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. I mentioned several times before from this pulpit how when God makes a promise, he keeps it. How long ago did he make a promise to Abraham? Thousands of years ago. And you are heirs to that promise. What God says happens. When he foreordains something, he makes it happen. When he promises to walk with you, to be with you, to never forsake you, what he promises, he keeps it. And he promised that you are his children. You've been clothed in Christ. That you've been given gifts of the Holy Spirit. That each one of you, whoever professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, has been given a gift and brought into this wonderful body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's that wonderful micro level of a personal, loving, faithful God. But then the macro level of bringing about salvation history. Because I think too many times in modern history, in modern church history, we've focused too much on that small personal aspect, where we've gotten into, what do I get out of it? What, God, what can you do for me? When the question needs to be flipped, oh, Heavenly Father, how can I take this wonderful life, this wonderful gift you've given me, this wonderful grace and mercy, and how can I serve you? How can I serve the body? Am I a hand? Am I a foot? Am I an eye? Lord, how do you want me to serve? Because you've brought me together into this wonderful body. From all these diverse peoples, to be a child of God. Father, how do you want me to serve? You know, Paul goes on in Galatians talking about this freedom in Christ. How we've been set free from the bondage of sin so that we no longer look at what's going to make me happy and satisfy the desires of the flesh. But it's not a freedom to do whatever we want. It's being free from sin to have the ability to follow God. Freedom in Christ to live out our purpose, our call, our gifts in this one amazing body that God has put together to fulfill his ultimate plan of bringing about new heavens, new earth, the resurrection. Oh, the resurrection. Be with God for eternity. Be with our loved ones again. the resurrection in Christ. Amazing gospel message, being cleansed of our sins, reconciled to the Father, so that we can be with him in eternity. We can be there 10,000 years and still have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. The hymn Amazing Grace never gets old, does it? As many renditions are out there, it never gets old. I would like you to go forward this week with the encouragement that you are the children of God, you are the heirs to the promise, you are the body of Christ, you have been blessed with gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in response, lay your life down before God and say, Lord, how do you want me to serve? I surrender all to you because you saved me from the bondage of sin. Lord, I pray you take my life. Take my life. Make it something that glorifies you. That's my encouragement for you this week, is to be in prayer to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Ghost. Lord, take my life and use it for your glory. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this wonderful body you've brought together from the ends of the earth, that we might unite with brothers and sisters around the globe, different walks, different nationalities, different cultures, all to become the one body of Christ. Lord, we thank you and praise you, giving you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.